too and worked at False Creek together. So it's a good night to get to preach in the same night you're playing. It's an honor to be here with you tonight and to open God's Word together. And as we get started tonight, there's a phrase or a saying that's been said once, and maybe you can relate to this. If I could sum my life up in one sentence, it would be this: it did not go as planned. Maybe some of you can relate to that this morning, and no matter what age you are, there's probably times in your life where you can reflect and you can say, you know what? That's not what I had planned for my life. And why is that the case? Well, the truth is, life is hard. Life's tough. We face loss in life. We face sickness. Personal sickness, sickness of loved ones. We face hardships. We lose jobs. Life's difficult. You know, Jesus never promised that this was going to be an easy life. He actually promised that we would have tribulation, that there would be trouble in this life. So the question is, how do we respond to these situations? How do we respond when we could say, you know what, life has not gone like I planned for it to? And the emotions that come with those feelings that come when life gets tough, how do we deal with that? So tonight I want to look at a psalm together, Psalm of David. It's Psalm 61. And in this psalm, David is dealing with that. This psalm is a request for God's help in times of trouble. And we're really not sure what exactly David was going through in this moment, or exactly what situation he was responding to. But what we do know of David is that he often felt alone, that he dealt with trials in life, and even at times he had a run for his life. In this psalm, he finds encouragement that God is faithful and that he can cling to his rock. He can cling to God. This is also a psalm that could be considered a messianic psalm in that it points to the coming of Jesus, the Messiah. And so let's pray as we look at this psalm together. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this opportunity to open your word together. And I pray that you would speak to us through your word. And I pray for anyone here that is dealing with hardships in life, that this would be a message of comfort, and a message that challenges them to run to you, to remember your faithfulness, to praise you in the midst of the storm. Father, I pray for anyone in this room that does not have a personal relationship with Jesus, that they would run to him today, that they would repent of their sins and they would trust in Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Let's read this passage together. Psalm chapter 61. 8 verses. Here we go. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you. When my heart is faint, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge under the shelter of your wings. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You've given me the heritage of those who fear your name. Prolong the life of the king. May his years endure to all generations. And may he be enthroned forever before God. Appoint steadfast love and faithfulness to watch over him. So will I ever sing praises to your name as I perform my vows day after day. There's three ways we can respond to life when it gets hard in this passage. And the first thing is that we need to respond in prayer. In verse 1 and 2, we see David crying out to God. God, listen to me. He's approaching the Lord in confidence that God will hear him, that God will listen to him. Not only that, but he would hear him from the very ends of the earth. David feels as though he is far from home. And so we could ask, what does he mean by that? What does he mean when he says that he's crying out from the very ends of the earth? Well, this idea of being far from home can be taken in two ways. One is a physical sense of being far from home, and that would be being far from Jerusalem. And we think of Jerusalem, the place where the ark was, the place where God's Spirit was dwelling. He's far from Jerusalem. Or more in a spiritual sense, in that he's feeling away and distant from God. He feels as though that God is far from him. And regardless of if it's physically away to the ends of the earth or he feels far from God, we can apply this to our lives in this way. There are times when we feel distant from God. There are times when we feel that He is far from us, that we're in spiritual distance or distress or despair or even alienation. And typically those feelings come in times of hardships. When life's difficult, when life's hard, we feel far. And we see here David mentions right after he says, "From the ends of the earth I call to you. My heart is faint." Literally, my heart is covered in darkness. It's in distress. It's a sense of being overwhelmed by what's going on in life. And maybe you can relate. Those moments when you feel like your heart is just covered in darkness and your heart is in distress and you're so overwhelmed by this difficult situation and this hardship that you're facing in life. And then he makes a very powerful statement about the Lord. And he says, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." God being a rock is a common theme in Psalms. It's actually used 20 times in the book of Psalms. Three times is found in the next chapter in 62. And then actually in Psalm chapter 18, another Psalm of David, and specifically Psalm 18, is stated that this is the words of David when the Lord had rescued him from the hand of his enemies and from the hands of Saul. David uses this idea of God being the rock four times. Let me just read these examples to you. Psalm 18:2, he says, "The Lord's my rock, my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge." Verse 31, "For who is God but the Lord, Yahweh? And who is a rock except our God?" In verse 47, or verse 46, he says, "The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation." This is a common theme. So why rocks? What's the deal with rocks? Well, one we can think of when David's running for refuge, hiding out in the rocks, maybe from Saul or later with Absalom. But we also think of a rock as being strong. A rock does not change. A rock is a shelter. A rock is huge. It's high. And here he is saying, "God, you're my rock. You're my shelter. You're who I can take refuge in." And there's two important things in this "lead me to the rock that is higher than I" that we can see here. And that's the first, is that it is higher than he is. David, in his kingly status, with everything he had going for him, his political status, still says, "You know what? I may be a king, but there's someone higher than me." And another thing is that this "lead me to the rock higher than I" is this rock is not something he could get to on his own. With his wealth or whatever it is, he could not work his way to this rock. He had to be led to this rock. So this rock is greater than he is. This rock is one he needs to be led to. And in our day and time, when we consider this, we think of salvation and getting to God is that we can't get to God on our own. Salvation is by grace. It's a free gift. We must have the Holy Spirit to lead us to the Lord. But the most important thing I want you to see here is in the midst of hardship, the midst of trials, David's immediate response was prayer. He was crying out to God, "Hear my cry. Listen to my prayer. You are a rock higher than I am. Lead me to this rock." Charles Spurgeon wrote a devotional called Morning and Evening. And in his evening devotional, he did a devotional in Psalm chapter 61. And I want to read a portion of that. He says, "Our God is the harbor of weather-beaten sails, the hostel for forlorn pilgrims. He is higher than we are, His mercy higher than our sins, His love higher than our thoughts." And listen to this. "It is pitiful to see men putting their trust in something lower than themselves. But our confidence is fixed on an exceeding high and glorious Lord. He is a rock, since He doesn't change. A high rock, because the tempests that overwhelm us roll far beneath His feet. He's not disturbed by them, but He rolls them all at His will. If we get under the shelter of this lofty rock, may we defy the hurricane. All is calm under the cover of this towering cliff." I've been guilty of trying to take things in my own hands. When life gets tough, when I face a difficult situation, sometimes the immediate response is, "What do I do to fix this? Or who can I run to for help in this moment? Or how can I help myself in this moment? When I need to go to the Lord first. He should be the first response. We should go to Him in prayer when we face hardships in life. Not try to take it in our own hands. I've been guilty of it. What about you? Because when we trust in something less than our high and glorious Lord, who's the rock, we're missing it. Respond in prayer. I love what Oswald Chambers said. He says, we tend to use prayer as a last resort, but God wants it to be our first line of defense. We pray when there's nothing else we can do, but God wants us to pray before we do anything at all. Always make prayer your first line of defense. When life gets hard, respond in prayer. The second thing, when life gets hard, we need to remember God's faithfulness. When we get into verse 3, I want you to notice, he says, for you have been my refuge, a strong tower against my enemies. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge under the shelter of your wings. For you, O God, have heard my vows, and you've given me the heritage of those who hear your name. Here David's reflecting on God's faithfulness. He says, in the past, you've been my refuge. You've been my strong tower. And he follows up with these four pictures of what God is and what God does and has done for those who trust Him. He says, you've been a refuge for me. This idea of refuge frequently used when it's linked to that rock, right? God being the rock. Psalm 62:7 is another one. On God rests my salvation and my glory, my mighty rock. My refuge is God. He says, you've been a strong tower to my enemies. We think when a city is under attack, you want to be in that strong tower, that height advantage over your enemies, the place that's going to shelter you, the place that's going to protect you. And he says, God, you've been my strong tower against my enemies. He asks that he would be his tent, or you could say tabernacle, the place where God dwells. A desire to dwell where the Lord dwells. Psalm 27:4, one thing I have asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all my days and gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. That desire to dwell with Him. And then finally, we see a picture of wings, that God's keeping him in the shelter under His wings. A picture of a mother bird protecting her children from enemies and from dangers. And in the same way, God protects His children. He covers them in His wings, a picture of intimacy with God and closeness to God. He protects us. God has been these things to David in the past, and David knows that he will be faithful to him in the future as well. God is always faithful, and we need to remember God's faithfulness. I think of growing up and the parents I had. They were faithful parents. They were good parents to me. I could trust them. They weren't perfect. No parent is perfect. But I knew when my parents told me something, that they were going to do something, if it was for me or whatever it was, I knew I could rely on it. And I knew that they were going to follow through with that. There's many examples I can think of. Even those when your dad gets home examples, right? I knew that they were going to follow through with what they said. And when we look back through Scripture, anytime God said He was going to do something, He did it. He was faithful. He kept His covenants. He kept His promises. When we look through Scripture, we see that. It's incredible. And then I look at what Jesus says in Luke 11, that He says, what father among you, if his son asks for a fish, he gives him a serpent, or an egg, and he gives him a scorpion? If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will our Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? God's faithfulness and care for us is beyond what even the best parent could do for us. We use that as an example of showing someone's been faithful to us, they can trust us, but they still fail. But when we look at God's faithfulness, He never fails. He's perfect. And so when life is hard, I want to challenge you to take some time to remember how faithful God is. Remember God's faithfulness in the past. Look through Scripture and see how God has been faithful throughout the Bible. Look back through your own life in those remember when moments. Remember when God did this in my life. How He was faithful in this moment. how He was faithful to save me. Recall God's faithfulness in your own life. Find encouragement of God's faithfulness in the life of others. We as believers, we need to share testimony of God's faithfulness with each other because we need to be reminded of His faithfulness and encourage one another with that. And then look forward to God's faithfulness in the future because He's always faithful. Sometimes we may not understand what's going on in the moment, in that hardship we're facing, but we can cling to the truth that God is faithful, that He's a rock that we can run to. He's our refuge. Trust in His faithfulness. Remember His faithfulness. And then the last thing I want to show you in this text is that we need to respond in praise. So as David has remembered God's faithfulness in the past, and he's looking forward to God's faithfulness in the future, read with me verse 6 and 7. He says, "Prolong the life of the king. May his years endure to all generations. May he be enthroned forever before God. Appoint steadfast love and faithfulness to watch over him." See, on the surface, it seems that David's almost asking the Lord to just prolong his own life. May I be king forever, generation after generation. May my kingship never end. May my kingdom never end. So there's one side of saying, maybe David's saying this about himself. Another is some believe that maybe someone else penned that, and they are writing about David. I tend to like what James Montgomery Boyce says about this text. He says, "This must also be said, whether this prayer was by David or is for David, ultimately it is about and is fulfilled in the Messiah." He points out that the many generations and the words forever would be a stretch for it just to be about David and his kingship. And with that said, this psalm suddenly leads us to recall 2 Samuel chapter 7, when God makes His covenant with David. And I want to read this to you in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12. Listen to this. "When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, so David, when you're gone, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. When he commits iniquity, I will discipline him with the rod of men, with the stripes of the sons of men. But my steadfast love will not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." So initially we could say this probably is referring to Solomon, who's coming after. But throughout the New Testament, we see that it affirms that Jesus is the son of David. It's from the lineage of David. Now, not all of that's necessarily about Jesus, because Jesus never committed iniquities, right? Though he took our iniquities upon himself and took the wrath upon himself that we deserved. But God did promise to establish his kingdom forever here in 2 Samuel 7. Boyce says, "Nothing merely of man lasts forever. So if God's promising a forever kingdom, it must be a kingdom to be established and maintained by a divine Messiah who would become man." And so when we see here David saying, "Prolong the life of the king. May his years endure to all generations. May he be enthroned forever before God. Appoint steadfast love and faithfulness to him watching over him." David's looking forward to God's future faithfulness, fulfilling the covenant he made that a Messiah would come and would establish his kingdom forever. So we see this here. And then what is David's response? In the midst of a hardship or a trial in life, he's responded in prayer. He's remembered God's faithfulness. In verse 8, we see him respond in praise to who God is and what he's done and what he's going to do. He says, "I will ever sing praise to your name as I perform my vows day after day." He responds in praise to God. Ronald Allen and Gordon Bohr define worship as worship being revelation and response to God. Our worship is our response to God. I love William Temple. He says, "To worship is to quicken the conscience of the holiness of God, to feed the mind with the truth of God, to purge the imagination by the beauty of God, and to open the heart of the love of God, to devote the will to the purpose of God." We respond to God in praise, even in the worst of circumstances. Because He's faithful and He's deserving of our worship no matter what we're going through. We know He's faithful, and that this current trial, this hardship in life, when we look at the big picture of eternity, is a mere speck. This 80 to 100 years or whatever the Lord allows us to be on this earth is nothing compared to what we're going to spend with Him forever. In a place that will be no more tears, no more pain, no more sickness, no more of the weight of sin always knocking at the door. God is faithful. He will keep His promises. A friend of mine told me God wants to be glorified by how we respond in adversity. I like that. He deserves to be glorified no matter where we are in life or what we're going through. In the good times and in the hard times, we respond to God in praise. So when life is hard, things aren't going like you had planned for them to go, respond in prayer. Remember God's faithfulness. And regardless, praise Him. This evening, I want you to know that there's a refuge you can run to. Not just a refuge from hardships in life, but a refuge from the wrath of God that is going to be poured out on all those who've never been forgiven of their sins. There's a refuge from that. And that refuge is Jesus. He is the one that is our refuge. Jesus is the rock higher than we are. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a man who built his house on the rock. When the rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew on the house. It did not fall because it had been built on the rock. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is seeking sand. Rock of ages, cleft for thee. Let me hide myself in thee." Tonight, maybe for the very first time, you need to run to Jesus. Maybe you look at your life and you realize, I've been running to a lot of other things. A lot of things that are a lot less glorious and amazing than God is. And tonight, I need to take refuge in Christ. The Bible tells us if we were to repent of our sins, that's turn from our sins, turn to Christ and believe in Him, that we'll be saved. Maybe tonight, you need to turn to the Lord Jesus. And maybe for those who are in this room that would say, you know what, Nick, I've done that. I'm a Christian. But life's hard right now. I'm facing things that I never expected to face. Life's difficult. I want you to remember, go to the Lord in prayer. Take it to Him first. Before you do anything else, remember to pray. Respond in prayer. Cry out to Him. He'll listen. Remember His faithfulness. His faithfulness in the past, His faithfulness right now, His faithfulness in the future. He's always faithful. And respond in praise. Praise Him in the midst of the storms. So we can do that as Christians because the Holy Spirit is with us when we're Christians. We have the joy of the Lord in us no matter what the circumstances are in life. We can respond in praise to Him. So tonight we're going to come up and we're going to enter into a time of response. And when I get done praying, we'll stand and we'll sing together. And tonight, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you've never ran to Jesus, I want to tell you tonight you can do that. Or maybe you've just been facing some hardship in life. Life's been hard. Go to the Lord in prayer. Remember His faithfulness. And then let's praise Him together in the midst of the storm. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for this day. Thank You that You're faithful. Time and time again, You've proven Yourself faithful. And though we go through hard times in life, sometimes we don't understand what it is going on. We understand that, God, You see the whole forest, while we may be focused on a single tree. God, You know exactly what's going on, and You are still faithful in the midst of the storm, and we can run to You, our rock, our refuge. God, I pray tonight for those in this room that are struggling. Tonight, they would go to You in prayer. They would remember Your faithfulness, and they would praise You. And I pray if there's anyone here tonight that does not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that tonight would be the day that they just let go of self, let go of the sin, and they would turn from that sin and they would turn to Jesus. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together and sing.